John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hey, amigos, you know what's really easy to do and even easier to forget? Please help me out and hit that like button if you're listening on YouTube. And if you're listening somewhere else, what the hell? Pop in, give me a thumb. Say hello while you're at it. It helps me a ton with the algorithm. And besides, it's real nice to see you there. And now, on to the show. Welcome, friends. I've got some good news for you. Halloween ain't quite over yet. Not till I say it is. And what better way to celebrate than a pillowcase full of candy and a split-tail Halloween special? Ain't that right, Chester? Hey, just because you ate all your candy already doesn't mean you're getting mine. Let's head in, friend. I don't like the way he's looking at me right now. All right. Hey, Chilling Tales for Dark Nights has a big anthology book full of your favorite stories. Take a second and visit chillingbook.com for the perfect Halloween read. Chilling Tales for Dark Nights, 30 Tales of Terror, contain just that. 30 tales never before available in print, all illustrated beautifully by David Romero. Now, smoke 'em if you got 'em and drink those glasses to the bottom. 'Cause old Drew Blood has a tale to tell. And it's a doozy. Our story tonight is the Split Tail Files number 9. And before we get started, I'd like to tell you all that Jeff and I are releasing a book. You heard that right. It'll have all the Split Tail stories, including the first three rewritten in first-person perspective, like all the others, and some other extras you won't want to miss. We'll keep y'all posted on that as soon as it's available. But for now, from my good friend, from your good friend, from everyone's good friend, author Jeff Sturtevant, and featuring our good pal Paul J. McSorley, I give you, from the Split Tail Files, The Pumpkin. It was a nice enough day in Split Tail, I suppose. Mother Nature had finally turned the broiler off, and our good citizens were getting into the Halloween spirit, such as it was. Now, I know what you're thinking. What's the difference between the Halloween spirit and any other spirit in this town? Well, for starters, it moves them to turn their front lawns into inexplicable scenes of horror. And by inexplicable, I mean for the life of me, I just can't explain it. See, after 20-some years in law enforcement, I've seen so much real-life horror up close and personal. All those creepy decorations seem naive at best, and at worst, a celebration of evil. How could you put a creepy black cat with spooky yellow eyes on your porch while there was a real one just like it hiding under old Mrs. McAllen's bed, just sharpening its claws and waiting to take a swipe at you? To drive those litter box germs deep into your bloodstream and fill your brain with weird amoebas. Rubber body parts, arms, legs, the occasional head. I mean, if you really wanted to, you could dredge some real ones out of the fish hole. For all I knew, Clarence might be the new bog man, preserved for all eternity in our pristine sewage. The point is, rubber body parts seem kind of tasteless in this light. Especially with all the poor souls who've managed to fall to pieces on my watch. And if all that ain't enough, people drag perfectly normal things into horror's periphery. scarecrows, princesses, sumo wrestlers, Dora the Explorer. It's not horror at all, really, but disorder. It's a quaint little town turned upside down. Its citizens worked into a satanic frenzy, and its quaint little lawn smeared end to end in Chinese-made baubles. I swear, if we skipped Halloween for just 1 year, the whole Chinese economy would collapse. They'd overthrow Wing Ding Ching, or whatever the fella's name is, and I'd be a goddamn hero for setting it all in motion. But that'll never happen, of course. Not with fellas like Dingle. Fellas who call in sick so they can drive to the Spirit Halloween store in Cooter and spend their whole paycheck there, no doubt. A real peach, my faithful deputy. If only one day he faced real horror, I wonder how he'd feel about Halloween then. Dingle and I were cooping by the old dry-ass reservoir, just sitting there enjoying a little peace and quiet, watching the setting sun glisten on the tiny mud puddle out in the middle there. A duck stood nearby, just kind of looking at it, like he wasn't sure if it was worth the effort to get in or not. Dingle had on his Toy Story guy outfit and was attempting to make a s'more over the cruiser cigarette lighter, no doubt some retarded manifestation of the spirit we've been discussing. And deep down, I gotta tell you, I was simmering worse than Dingle's stupid marshmallow. Had been for months. On top of me hating Halloween, I guess I'd reached the anger stage of whatever psychological obstacle course I'd been on since, well, you remember what happened. To that end, I glanced up at my visor, and there sat my old fishing license. Like its owner, long past its date of expiration. Yet here I remained. I gotta wonder sometimes, is it my fate to be the last man standing?
Hey, Sheriff, what if one day I make my very own haunted house? I've always wanted to do that, you know. You think anyone would show up?
You know, if there's one thing I've learned in all my years of law enforcement, it's this. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Of course, just because I've learned something doesn't mean I'm always going to do it. That's a great idea, Deputy. You can have Yolanda scale your garage and hold you in her hand like Andero. Insert a beat here while Dingle processes my little joke and decides if he wants to get mad or not.
Sheriff, I'm willing to pretend you never said that. As long as you're willing to tell me what's got your goat. You've been nasty with me for months. It ain't still about Summer, is it?
Summer? Summer who? Never heard of her.
Now come on, Sheriff. Ask any therapist and he'll tell you. You gotta talk this stuff out. When you keep it inside like that, it only gets worse. And then you start making uncouth remarks about your deputy's woman, for example.
Really, Dingle, it's nothing. I haven't given her so much as a thought in I don't know how long. As far as your haunted house goes, though, I do have one more idea. You could bill Yolanda as Gargantua the Ape and put her in a big old cage and...
Unit 1.
Mercifully, my radio piped up.
Come in, Unit 1.
Frankie, my boy, to what do I owe this dubious pleasure?
We've got a situation at the McAllen residence, sir.
Everyone's got a situation, Frankie. And to what code is this situation assigned?
Not sure there's a code for this one, sir.
Well then, Frankie, in a case such as this, one must ask himself, if a situation has no code, is it really a situation at all? A pause.
Sheriff, are you feeling all right, sir?
Frankie, my boy, I've never been goddamn better in my life. I'll tell you what, the deputy and I are on our way, guns blazing. Shoot first, ask questions later. Sound good to you? Another pause.
Copy that, Sheriff. I don't get paid enough fucking money for this shit.
You heard the man, Deputy. Steal yourself. We've got ourselves a situation.
Made you a s'more, Sheriff. Here. That'll cheer you up.
With this, he placed a sad little cracker on my knee, haphazard and oozing marshmallow. It struck me as such an affront, all I could do was stare at it for a moment and contemplate revenge. Out by the mud puddle, the duck hopped in, promptly floated to the other end, got out, and stared at the puddle again, demoralized. In solidarity, I choked down the s'more and hit the cherries. May the fates have mercy.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
My personal style of parking usually obviates the need for a friendly honk, so needless to say, Mrs. McAllen was out on the porch by the time Dingle and I got out of the car. The lawn, a veritable minefield of cat shit to begin with, was lined with inflatable decorations. These, as most intelligent people know, are held upright with nylon ropes, strung at approximately ankle height. All that was missing were the pits filled with punji sticks. In any case, I played it safe and walked up the driveway.
Shit!
I suppose you already know which route Dingle took.
Oh, my! Are you all right, Mr. Deputy?
I think I landed in a turd.
I strolled up onto the porch. Mrs. McAllen was winding up the hearing aid in her ear. What seems to be the problem this spooky evening, Mrs. McAllen? Ghosts and ghouls and the like?
Oh, nothing like that, Sheriff. At least not the ghouls you're talking about. Have a look just over there. Shit, Dick! Get out of the way!
She pointed to the corner of the porch where a jack-o'-lantern lay on its side, its candle summarily extinguished. A stringy little glob of pumpkin guts dripping from the edge of its mouth. Well, goddamn, I said. A murder.
It's worse than that, Sheriff. Have a look. Look around back of it.
With a glance at the deputy, I saw he'd recomposed himself and donned a pair of latex gloves. I motioned for him to check the pumpkin as Mrs. McAllen had asked.
Well, looks like there's a hole in it, Sheriff.
A hole, you say? Now, I'm no expert, Deputy, but is it all that uncommon for a jack-o'-lantern to have a hole in it?
You're missing the point, Mr. Sheriff. I was trying to be delicate about all this, but fart knocker, out of the candy bowl. But, well, that's not a regular hole, Sheriff. There was a man. Well, he was making love to my pumpkin, Sheriff.
The deputy let go of the jack-o'-lantern like it had bit him. He held his hands out as if to ward it off. Making love to your pumpkin, Mrs. McAllen? Who on earth would do such a thing as that? She leaned in closer.
I don't know, Sheriff. I was inside making cookies when I heard a rustling around on my front porch. I figured it was just shit bastard playing with his tin can again. But then I heard something different. A kind of grunting or something. Shitstick grunts sometimes when he's licking his gooch, but it didn't sound like that at all. Besides, he was asleep in the microwave. I crept over to the window and pulled the shade aside. That's when I saw him. I tried turning on the porch light to scare him away, but Buttfuck had broken the bulb just the other night. It was too dark to see the man's face, but he was tall, lanky. And I saw right away what he was doing to my poor pumpkin. So I grabbed my flashlight from the table there and ran out onto the front porch and shined a flashlight on him. He turned away, but he kept on going. I shouted, "Stop that, you bastard! Stop that right now!" But he just swiveled away from me and kept right at it. All I could see was the man's ass and balls, Sheriff. I was horrified.
"My God," I said, "a rape murder."
"Can you describe the balls, ma'am?"
Dingle asked. He already had his notepad out. "Good question, deputy." "Ma'am?" Mrs. McAllen looked dumbfounded.
The balls? Well, they looked like any other balls, I suppose. Is there really any difference?"
"Of course there is. And if that's all we've got to go by, we're going to need to identify some phenotypes. Let's see. You've got your street sweepers, kind of wide to the road and low to the ground. You've got your Salvador Dali droopers. You got your high hurdlers. High and tight, you know. You got your click-clacks, uniform length, common among street sweepers. You got left-heavy, right-heavy. You got your dune buggy tire. You got your side-nut squeeze-outs. You got your chewed-up hubba-bubba. You got your..."
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Street sweepers, I suppose. They were long and hangy, just like my husband's. I didn't know there were so many kinds."
I could see Dingle jotting this detail down in his pad. "How is your husband, by the way, Mrs. McAllen? He's still down in the basement there?"
"Oh, yes. I think so, anyway. I haven't checked on him in a while. Maybe I should check on him. Shit stain! Stop that!"
Just inside the picture window, an orange cat dangled, then fell from the curtain rod. "Well, Dingle and I will go feed this information into the county database, Mrs. McAllen, and we'll get right back to you with our findings."
"Oh, one more thing, Sheriff. He walked kind of funny, the man. He had a hitch in his step."
"That right." Dingle added this to his notes. "Go on."
"I never told you what happened next. All I could see were the man's ass and balls. And when I shined the flashlight on them, shit bastard saw them too. So he pounced on the man's balls while they were swinging like that. Scratched them up pretty good, I'd imagine. And that's when the man got off of my pumpkin and ran away. And I saw the little hitch in his step. He went right over my fence, and then he was gone. And that's when I called you."
"You got that, deputy? Hitch in the man's getup?"
"Got it, Sheriff."
"Well, good. I thank you for your cooperation, Mrs. McAllen, and I assure you we'll employ every available resource to ensure your jack-o'-lantern gets justice."
"Well, thank you, Sheriff. You too have a nice... fucko! Get off of Dick Tits! She's pregnant already!"
I had the deputy bag up the corpse and put it in the trunk. Just a formality when it comes down to it. Back behind the wheel, an ethereal feeling briefly came over me. Just a weird realization that I'd done this same thing thousands and thousands of times. Gotten out of the car, done little to nothing, and gotten back in. A ghostly feeling, really. Maybe it was that Halloween spirit everyone was talking about. If it was, I sure didn't like it any better. You know, if I've learned any one thing in all my years of law enforcement, it has to be this. An object in motion tends to remain in motion. Now, that might seem more like a science thing than a sheriff thing, but the physics apply equally. And my ass hasn't been in motion since. Well, you remember what happened. And I'll admit it, by the time I kicked off my boots and settled down that night, nothing could have been further from my mind than Mrs. McAllen's poor jack-o'-lantern. But just sitting there in my easy chair, feet up, orange Fanta in hand, watching a Columbo rerun with the volume off, something occurred to me. I hadn't done much of anything since the whole summer fiasco went down, not in or out of uniform. I'd go to work, do as little as possible, grab tacos at some point, grab more tacos on the way home, and do exactly what I was doing just then. Sitting in my chair and feeling sorry for myself. Feeling low. Feeling old. Inadequate. Just downright ugly. But what really had changed that fateful day in the town square? When Summer Sausage, the only woman I ever loved, patted me 3 times on the back and ran off with some magazine model fella. What now was so damn different from the way it was back then? Nothing, I realized. Nothing at all. Summer hadn't so much as thought of me since the day she left for Schenectady. There had never been any chance of her coming back. It was nothing more than a fantasy on my part. A false religion with some happy ending that could never happen. And that photo clipped to my visor all these years was nothing more than an idol, and my dreams of a reunion were plain idolatry. My heart skipped a beat at that revelation. Could have been indigestion, but I'm pretty sure I felt a skip, because in that moment, I realized something profound. That good and evil both offered the same incentive, hope. And that I, of all people, the righteous and benevolent leader of Splittail, the benchmark of all men, had unwittingly been played by no less than the Prince of Lies. No wonder I'd lost my zest for police work. My entire impetus had been based on a false premise. And once the devil had packed his ball in mid and headed back home, I didn't even know how to play the game anymore. To be fair to myself, of course, what devil could stick around too long with a guy like me? Magnanimous, benevolent, righteous me. A man with a mustache just as full and impressive as my resume. The Adonis-like physique didn't hurt too much either. Hell, I was a specimen from top to bottom. That known, what god would possibly lead me down a silly path like a life with Summer Sausage? A woman who'd long ago packed up her bag of scruples and both ideologically and physically fled to the dark side. Not the god of me, I knew. I got out of my recliner and examined my alluring visage in the floor-to-ceiling mirror by my closet. A few more grays than I'd like in the old mustache, but it was still bigger and bushier than ever. Awe-inspiring, some might say. You know, if there's one thing I've learned in all my years of law enforcement, it's this. A man is defined by his actions, not his memories. Sure, I may have learned that from Coato in Total Recall, but how very prescient it was. And although we didn't actually have a database of testicles like I'd implied earlier that night, we did have one space-age piece of equipment at our disposal. A brand new, world-class, state-of-the-art sheriff. And I was going to find this pumpkin rapist, I resolved. I was going to bury myself in this case because that was the whole point. The work. To labor tirelessly in God's orchards. And if that's not the belief you subscribe to, just chalk it up to my own version of the Halloween spirit. With each new sunrise comes a new day, and I greeted this one as a new sheriff, kind of like a T-1000, a high-end, cutting-edge, indestructible herald of law and order. I'd had an orange Fanta for breakfast, and drinking it felt like pouring some synthetic orange lubricant into a high-tech machine. It felt good. I was Sheriff Ball 2, Judgment Day. Dingle and I had been at it since dawn, which in Dingle's case meant about 10 a.m. When I picked him up, he looked like he'd been put through a taffy puller, all wobbly and rosy-cheeked. "Are you all right there, Deputy?" I'm inclined to ask what you've been up to, but I'm genuinely afraid of the answer.
Never better, Sheriff. Just finished my morning workout is all.
Well, goddamn, Dingle. I'm impressed. I was just thinking to myself, you know, that Dingle's looking just like a carved marble statue these days. I wonder what his secret is, and now I guess I know the answer to that. You've been doing your morning workout. Dingle puffed out his chest a little, which frankly had the effect of fluffing a real old pillow.
Thanks, Sheriff. Yolanda says I'm looking pretty buff these days.
Uh-huh, I said, eyeing his twiggy arms. And I'm sure she wasn't just being polite about it either.
You seem chipper, Sheriff. Feeling better about the whole summer thing?
Dingle, I stand before you today a new man. I'm Sheriff Ball 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Well, that's great news, Sheriff. We're both turning over a new leaf.
That we are, Deputy. And rest assured, we'll leave no leaf unturned until we bring this pumpkin fella to justice. That one kind of deflated his chest a little. I'm assuming it brought back unpleasant memories of the Hinky Bruno case. Blame me if you want for withholding Dingle's lunch break until we found the killer, but I'll refer you to Proverbs 16:26. A man works hardest when he's hungry.
We still worried about that one, Sheriff? I mean, it's only a pumpkin.
One day it's a pumpkin, Deputy. The next it's something worse. We let this monster get away with this, who knows what meanness he'll get up to next. He might climb right on top of a watermelon, Dingle. And say it's Yolanda's watermelon. You willing to put her through that? All because the pumpkin was just a pumpkin? He appeared to give that one a good thinky. And just like I knew he would, the old pillow chest was fluffed right up again.
No, I'm not, Sheriff. You're right. You got any leads?
Of course I did. I was too ball too furious. And speaking of furious, my first suspect was formerly the angriest man in Splittail. At least he was until Dingle shot his shaky ear off. He'd become much more agreeable after that. Now, I'm no scientist, but I think it was the shaky ear that made him so angry in the first place. It's all too common to meet a cheesy Midwesterner, but rare to meet one so prone to outbursts. So saying, we were off to La Fromagerie to visit our old pal, Mr. Cheesefella. The Metro Wisconsin matter had toned down since Cheesefella's demise at the hand of my newly buffed deputy. Not to suggest he was demised entirely, but merely dispossessed of an ear by way of a 50 caliber pistol in the hands of a man who hadn't yet begun his morning workout routine. And it's a good thing he hadn't. Mr. Cheesefella was a lot more docile these days. He had abandoned his cutthroat capitalism tact for the small town approach. We parked politely in front of La Fromagerie, conventional cheese and keepsakes.
Welcome, Sheriff. Welcome, Deputy. You came just in time. We just got in a shipment of regular old cheese, don't you know? You boys like cheddar, don't you?
He tucked his hair behind his ears. Well, the one ear, anyway. Sure do, Mr. Cheesefella. But I'm afraid Special Agent Dingle and I have more pressing matters to attend to. And just in case you're wondering, that's not some clever pun about pressing cheese. It's more akin to pressing one's private parts into an unwitting pumpkin. That bring anything to mind, Mr. Cheesefella? Ever found yourself in a pumpkin patch and thought you might patch your own pumpkin? Inquiring minds need to know. As most innocent people accused of pressing their private parts into a pumpkin would, Cheesefella looked at me a little funny. But that was a whole lot more preferable than being called a moose fucker. In fact, it's just what I was looking for.
Are you saying what I think you're saying, Sheriff?
Well, that highly depends on what you think I'm saying, Cheesefella. And I think you think exactly what I'm thinking. So let's step over all your garrulous circle talking and get to the bottom of it. Where were you last night at approximately 7 p.m.?
7 p.m.? Well, I was at home, Sheriff, watching TV, having a room temperature chocolate porter and a snifter glass, eh? What do you think I was doing?
Well, I'm not sure what you think I think you were doing. But again, the deputy inspector and I have more important things to do than to stand here and listen to your waffling around the point and endless digressions. Ain't that right, Deputy Inspector?
Well, that's right, Sheriff.
Listen, whatever you think I was doing, I can prove I was at home. I remember now, I was watching Seinfeld, eh? It was the one where George naps under his desk. All you gotta do is check and you'll see him telling the truth, yeah.
I took off my sunglasses and gave Cheese Fella a good hard looky-loo. And without breaking eye contact, I took out my radio and called the most prolific TV watcher I knew. Frankie, it's Unit 1. Come back.
Copy, Unit 1.
You happened to have Seinfeld on in the office last night at 1900 hours?
Affirmative, Unit 1.
Well, what episode was it? And God help you if you can't remember, Frankie. A man's life hangs in the balance here.
My life? What gives, eh? I'm innocent, don't you know?
The Nap, Unit 1. Season 8, Episode 18. Written by Peter Melman and directed by Andy Ackerman, sir.
I gave Cheese Fella a little nod. Looks like your story checks out. It's a good thing, too, because the deputy inspector and I don't take kindly to pumpkin fuckers. I dare say they're almost as bad as moose fuckers, and I know just how you feel about those.
The original air date of the Nap was April 27, 1997, sir.
Somebody got frisky with a pumpkin, Sheriff? Golly, reminds me of the Swiss cheese scandal back home back in 95. Boy, that was a doozy.
Good heavens,
said Dingle.
Someone up your way raped the Swiss cheese?
No, not exactly,
Cheese Guy said.
It was a block of Munster. It only looked like Swiss when he was done with it. It ended up on an 8-foot turkey and Swiss at the fire department anniversary party. It was a real dilemma, don't you know? One guy goes, hey, this is Munster cheese. And some other guy goes, nah, that's Stan, the boar's head guy. I'd recognize that taste anywhere.
Would you like a synopsis of the episode, Unit 1?
No, Frankie. I think our business is done for the moment. But stay frosty. There's a rapist in town, and I mean to have the bracelets on them before Halloween is over.
Copy that, Sheriff.
With that, the Special Inspector Deputy and I took our leave. Safe to say, even a small town like this had no shortage of hinksters. And if I meant to adhere to my self-imposed deadline, we hadn't a moment to spare.
Do you really think Cheese Fella was the one to have done it, Sheriff? I mean, he doesn't seem like the type at all.
Inspector Deputy, if there's one thing I've learned in all my years of law enforcement, it has to be this. You are what you are, and you can't trust anyone.
Well, I suppose you're right about that, Sheriff.
That one was also Cuopto from Total Recall, but again, eternally relevant. And speaking of recall, there was no forgetting one certain lanky, funny-walking character once you'd seen him. Truth be told, he was my number one suspect. I'd only used Mr. Cheesefella as a kind of warm-up. Sure, he had the hitch in his step. Sure, he no doubt had some unsavory proclivities, but this wasn't our man. I'm always right, Deputy. It only depends on whether my keen police instincts serve me that way. And if they do right now, they're pointing me due south to a certain moonshine camp. Recognition came into the deputy's eyes.
Iggy? Well, he does walk kind of funny, Sheriff. But you think he'd do such a thing as climb on top of a pumpkin?
All I think, Dingle, is that you better keep those big muscles of yours nice and limber, because we're going to catch this freak come hell or high water. And when we do, I don't need him climbing on top of you. The deputy flexed his arms a little bit and stiffened his upper lip.
You can count on me, Sheriff. No one's climbing this mountain of a man.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Whoa, Sheriff. Sheriff! Whoa! Good God, Sheriff. You okay?
The deputy and I pulled up to one of our favorite cooping spots, the shady little lot at the foot of the hills. Normally my favorite anyway. Between the stench of rotten leaves and whatever Wally and Iggy had fermenting up there, it smelled like Autumn had a bad night of drinking and threw up all over itself. Up at the Shine Camp, the smell and the plot thickened. Pumpkins everywhere. Piles of them. Wally was mashing a bunch of them in a 50-gallon drum with an old axe handle, and Iggy was arranging sticks under an old fire extinguisher with copper wire coiling out of it.
Holy shit! Sheriff, don't you knock?
Well, I sure meant to. Just hadn't found anything to knock on yet. Ain't that right, Deputy?
My God! Smells like someone cooked an old boot up here.
It's our newest invention, Sheriff. On account of Halloween. Had a barrel full of pumpkins working for weeks. Iggy's about to put fire to them now. Fixing to bring a few bottles of pumpkin shine down to Laundry's Halloween party tonight.
Pumpkin shine, I said. And I thought I'd seen it all. And I had. But what I was seeing just then was a whole lot more than meets the eye. The regular eye, anyway. Mine just then were more like those T-1000 eyes I'd been recently equipped with, especially in the context of why we were there. Pumpkins everywhere. Big ones, small ones, defenseless, naked pumpkins, dismembered and rotten in 50-gallon barrels and piled on the ground like Guantanamo prisoners. And one tall, lanky man with a hitch in his step trying to light some moss under the fire extinguisher still. I walked past Wally and set my sights on him. Say, Ignatius.
How do you call?
Say you've had a long, stressful day, as I'm sure you've had plenty of times. One of those days when you've just been working so hard, all you need is a little release, you know? And suddenly, just out of nowhere, you come across the prettiest little pumpkin you can imagine. Such a pretty, perfect little pumpkin. You just gotta get your hands on it, you know? Soft orange skin, pretty little stem poking out of it. That ever happened to you, Iggy? Ever set your designs on a pumpkin like that, you twisted, creepy rapist?
No. Huh? Pussy lips!
You heard me. I got you dead to rights, pumpkin fella. So now that we're on the same page, how many pumpkins did you rape this holiday season? Moreover, how many cantaloupes might have lost their innocence this October? Any honeydews I ought to be concerned about? Watermelons?
Pussy farts!
He says he's innocent. These are preposterous allegations, Sheriff. I'm appalled.
I'll tell you what's preposterous. When I gotta look into the grieving eyes of a pumpkin owner and tell her her jack-o'-lantern's light is gone out for good. So what am I to think, Wally, when I come up here just to find a veritable sex camp? Huh? What am I to think when I just come strolling by and find you two trying to be the next pea daddies? So where do you keep the baby oil, Iggy? I know you got it somewhere.
Pusher! These here pumpkins are for our next batch. We're making the wart right now.
That right, Mr. Freakoff? Well, tell me this, then. Where'd you get them all? Silence for a moment. I knew there would be.
Well, that's none of your business, Sheriff. That's government interference. It ain't your business snooping around a private enterprise.
It is when you two are making a damn white party out of it. I know sex trafficking when I see it, Mr. Freakoff. So you might want to let that one ferment for a little bit in that barrel you call a head. Because a little domestic pumpkin rape is one thing, but what I see happening here might be a federal matter. Wally's eyes were pointing every which way, neither one at the same place at once.
Sheriff, you lost your goddamn mind or something? I'd say you got it all wrong, but wrong ain't even the right word.
Pussy!
It ain't the right word for what you're doing either, Mr. Epstein fella. If there's a word for what you're doing, I'd be afraid to utter it out loud. I'd be afraid the earth would open up underneath my feet, and every dirty sex demon from hell would crawl up here and join your little party. God in heaven, after the feds carry you two off, I'll have to salt this whole goddamn mountain.
Pee-hole farts!
He says you'll never prove such a thing, Sheriff. I'm inclined to agree. I think you lost your damn mind.
Oh, we'll see about that. Come on, Dingle. Let's head back to the DNA lab and match up those chromosomes we were talking about. With that, the deputy and I headed back to the cruiser. Dingle had been awfully quiet through the whole exchange, I realized. A penny for your thoughts, deputy.
Well, I can't say I'm quite as convinced on the matter as you seem to be, Sheriff.
Well, you're still a little wet behind the ears, Deputy Inspector. I patted him on the back. You know, if there's one thing I've learned in all my years of law experience, it's this. I kind of trailed off with that because I couldn't think of anything. No matter. Nothing before last night mattered, come to think of it. I was a new man now. Sheriff Bald, too. And I'd have plenty of new lessons once the next 20 years had gone by. For now, it was back to the lab. We'd see if I'd never prove such a thing. We'd just see about that. Dingle was a little bent out of shape when he learned we didn't have time for lunch, but I told him I was sure Mrs. McAllen would make him something to eat when he got done making his plaster footprints in her lawn. A cat hair and cheese sandwich, maybe. Or at least an iced tea with a whisker in it. I'll tell you, when Dingle's hungry, he's got no sense of humor at all. That done, we drove back to headquarters. The Split-Tail PD didn't have much of a forensics unit. To Frankie's dismay, I deployed this unit on his desk, and thereupon sat Mrs. McAllen's violated jack-o'-lantern. Seinfeld played quietly on a nearby TV while I measured the diameter of the wiener hole. You really want to capture this guy, don't you, Unit 1? I've never seen you measure anything in my life. Frankie, if there's one thing I've learned in all my years of law enforcement, it has to be this. The true measure of a man is how he measures things. And there ain't one man alive who hasn't measured this, at least once. You ready with the notes there, Frankie? 10-4, Unit 1. Alrighty then. Entry wound suggests a modest, if not unimpressive, diameter. Nothing to write home about. Not that a man would do that, I suppose. On the other hand, minor contusions on the inside of the pumpkin opposite the entry wound suggest an extravagant length. A real whipcracker, Frankie. If one was wont to write home about that, he might actually do it. How long specifically, Unit 1? Specifics aren't what we're after here, Frankie. This is profiling. What we've got here suggests just the long, lanky type of fella Mrs. McAllen pointed to. Add a pair of street sweepers, and you know just what you're looking for. What we've got here is a real country boy, 30 to 40 years of age, a social outcast, possible criminal record, likely fitting the profile of a neurodivergent moonshiner. Got all that, Frankie? Frankie finished scribbling and nodded in affirmative. What are you thinking, Dingle? The deputy didn't look like he was thinking much at all.
Kind of thinking about lunch, Sheriff. I'm on a workout regimen, you know. Gotta feed the machine.
I stuck my finger in the deputy's chest. That got his glassy eyes back focused. We got to go through this again, Dingle? How could you possibly stomach anything while this creep is out there planning his next move? It's Halloween night, Deputy. He could be planning a mass terrorist attack, and there you are dreaming about fancy aperitifs. What kind of exercise program has you so hungry anyway?
Jane Fonda's workout, Sheriff. I watch it on the VCR. It's no joke, Sheriff. And I never heard any athlete who's expected to skip lunch like this.
Jane Fonda made a cameo appearance as herself on the second episode of Murphy Brown. Of course, this concept was most popularized by Seinfeld. I sighed and rolled the dead body into Frankie's trash can. In my own mind, this case was as good as solved. But what good is a high-end, state-of-the-art, cutting-edge sheriff with split-tail resources? As spot-on as my profiling was, no doubt, there was no way to prove anyone did anything around here without catching them in the act. But that's when something Frankie said got my hamster wheel going. Jane Fonda made a cameo appearance as herself. Now, you'd normally catch me dead before you'd catch me dressing up for Halloween. but I intended to stick to our pal Iggy like a cockleburr, and I knew just where he'd be this night. As far as any costumes go, I was wearing mine already. Let's just say I was making a cameo appearance as myself, handcuffs included. There'd be pumpkins all over the damn place, no doubt about it. And the second Big P Daddy looked at one sideways, he'd be celebrating Halloween next to my bowling trophies. The parking lot of Laundry Saloon was packed, and I noted with just a little disdain that my personal parking spot was taken. I parked by the garbage cans in my traditional fashion, but with all the ruckus coming out of there, I doubt anyone even heard me. We walked through the swinging doors into pure bedlam. It seemed every citizen of Splittail and beyond had stuffed himself in there, all of them in their funny outfits and costumes. Even Liberace was wearing a funny pair of cat ears on his head, although he didn't look terribly happy about it. The beaver with an asshole face was sitting in his cage, and I guess he didn't really need a costume. Cheesefella was chatting up a few of the local gals who seemed to be fascinated with his missing ear. And Laundry, dressed up like a redneck vampire, was standing on the bar, singing on his fancy karaoke machine.
I was working in the lab late one night, when my eyes were held in eerie sight. So my monster from his slab began to rise. And suddenly, to my surprise,
it was a mess!
It was a monster mess!
A monster mess!
It caught on in a flash.
A monster mess!
It was a monster mess. Take it away, Miss Clarissa.
Ooh. What?
And wouldn't you know it, even your fella had made his way down here tonight. He looked to be dancing in the corner with an invisible woman. And come to think of it, something looked a little funny about that. Beside the obvious, I mean, you could easily say a disheveled and perpetually unwashed yurt dweller dancing with an imaginary woman is kind of funny by itself. But I'll be damned if there wasn't a hitch in his step, too. Just about the same as Iggy's.
Deputy, have a looky over that way. Anything grab that keen eye of yours?
Dingle took a look at Yurt Fella and said,
Poor guy doesn't even have a costume. Should I lend him my hat, maybe?
At the other end of the bar, I saw Wally and Ignatius bobbing for apples in what I guess was Liberace's trough. And just like that, something kind of profound occurred to me. When you're real deep and contemplative like I am, things like this do tend to happen from time to time. I'm not sure what brought it on exactly, whether it was the simple game of bobbing for apples in such a complicated world, my decade-long delusion of reuniting with Summer Sausage smashed to pieces, or my miraculous birth as Sheriff Ball 2. I just knew that if I was going to start over again, start fresh, maybe all those amazing things I'd learned in my 20-some years of law enforcement didn't apply anymore. Maybe it was time to go back to basics. And just like that, I had it.
Dingle, do me a favor real quick. Put those big muscles to use and yank the cord on Laundry's infernal machine there.
Well, why, Sheriff? That's not real nice.
You know what I just realized, Deputy? All this space-age forensic noodling we've been up to, it's all just a distraction. Measuring holes, comparing chromosomes. It's all just a bunch of noise. And noise is exactly what I don't need right now. Because it's time for some simple, fundamental police work. Yank it, Deputy. Somewhat confused, Dingle went ahead and pulled the power cord like I told him.
Hey, what gives, Sheriff?
I'm sorry, everyone. Truly I am. But I'm afraid that before this little shindig can go on, the deputy and I have a very important piece of business to attend to.
See, there's a rapist in this town this Hallow's Eve. A rapist of seasonal vegetables. And I don't want to alarm anyone, but I believe that fella is right here in this room as we live and breathe. I was expecting to kind of gasp you'd hear in a dramatic courtroom movie scene, but all I got was a bleat from Liberace. I went on. Ignatius, Yurt fella, both you boys come here a minute. Yurt fella looked despondent. His invisible lady friend had dissipated into the ether.
What about now, officer? What to do?
He wants to know what the problem is, Sheriff.
Dingle said.
Pusher!
Is Iggy being detained?
Said Wally. Detained? No, I wouldn't want to do anything like that. Not with everyone having such a good time tonight. Call it a Halloween game. You, Yurt fella, and Dingle here are going to bob for apples. Well, you two are going to bob for apples. Dingle, he's just going to go bobbing.
What do you mean by that, Sheriff?
Oh, just some fundamental police work, Deputy. Get these fine gentlemen in front of the trough there, and we'll be out of here before you know it. Dingle motioned for the two gangly men to come stand in front of the trough.
Yes, Fart, pussy fart.
Iggy says he don't know what you're up to, Sheriff, but he ain't the guy you're looking for.
Well, there's only one way to prove that, gentlemen. The both of you drop your drawers and bend over and start bobbing. Inspector Dingle here is going to have a look at your nuts.
What?
What are you drawing down my nail, officer? I'm talking about drawing down. Where are you going there? You're going to have to pull up my shell. What did I do? Pee-hole?
If memory serves me right, Dingle, I believe Mrs. McAllen said that Shitbastard clawed the perp's nuts pretty good. I think it was Shitbastard. Could have been Fuckstick.
Oh, no, don't. Talk about Fuckstick, officer. I'm innocent here, officer. He did it. Titty farts?
Iggy says you're violating his rights.
Wally said.
Who the hell do you think you are, anyway? Wing Ding Ching?
If I were him, I said, I'd be selling you rubber pumpkins with the holes already drilled in them. Only reason he hasn't yet is because this is God's country, where people walk around speaking God's language, going to church now and again, and doing upstanding godly things. Most of us, anyway. Yet one of these fellas here has been skulking around at night, sticking his prick in innocent ladies' pumpkins, desecrating the very bedrock this country is built on. So you tell me, Wally, are you the kind of guy who's willing to let this stand? To sleep under your desk like goddamn Costanza while this nation is turned over to retrobate minds?
Titty fire. Sex farts.
Iggy says the Fourth Amendment protects against unreasonable searches and seizures.
Well, I believe it was John Adams who said our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. In light of that, Wally, is it at all that unreasonable to have a little peek at a couple of fellas' nuts, if only to validate those morals themselves? Wally seemed to roll that around in his head for a moment. You could tell when he was rolling something around in his head by the way his eyeballs started rolling around. But when they stopped, they might as well have been showing cherries. I tell you, maybe I'm not so old and expired after all. Maybe I'll even renew my fishing license after all this.
Well, I'll be Sheriff. Not sure they mentioned anyone's balls in the Federalist Papers, but there was a whole dual sovereignty thing. Fuck it. Go ahead, Wally. Pull out those street sweepers of yours. Let's validate our moral superiority.
You pussy. Talk about Federalism Paper. The fuck this.
With that, the two men obediently dropped trowel. Just as I suspected, two sets of street sweepers. A stench washed over the room that was no less than eye-watering. The patrons began peeling off and running for the door as it hit them.
Oh, hell, Sheriff. They hasn't even paid their tabs yet.
The stench must have hit Dingle, too, because he looked like he had seen a ghost. The kind of pale one's face might get when he's confronted with true horror. Now, Dingle, about that Bob thing. See, that's a police acronym for back of balls. And that's exactly what I need you to investigate. One of these men has cat scratches back there, and I need you to find out which one that is.
Oh, hell,
Laundry said.
Not this again.
Sheriff, that's undignified.
Dingle, I don't get to tell you this often, as busy as we are most of the time, but I just want to say, I'm real proud of you lately, doing Jane Fonda's work out the way you are, looking all buff and manly. I'll tell you verily, Deputy, you're all man and a bag of chips to boot. A little color came back into Dingle's cheeks.
You really think so, Sheriff?
I know so. And I can't think of a better man alive to do what has to be done right now. And believe you me, were either of them among the living, both John Adams and Jane Fonda would be proud of you.
Pussy farts!
Wally says get it over with, Deputy. And to get down there and have a good look at his hairy, sweaty balls.
Get in close, Dingle. Cat scratches aren't always easy to see. Get in there good and have a real good looky-loo.
Our Father, who art in heaven...
Oh, hell.
Dingle approached a trough like he were preparing to disarm some unexploded ordnance. He pulled his red Toy Story Guy bandana over his face and leaned in to examine Wally's ass. Dark as it was from Laundry's clever mood lighting that evening, he had to get in real close, and that's when the unexploded ordnance went off.
Pussy!
Goddamn, Iggy!
Dingle scrambled away like a tarantula was after him.
I can't do it, Sheriff. I can't!
Get it together, Dingle. Any cat scratches down there?
I don't think so. It's tough to see in the dark, but I don't think so. Ain't you got a flashlight, Sheriff?
Fresh out of batteries, Dingle. But your job's almost done. Just one more looky at your fella there, and everyone can get back to having a happy Halloween. Along with that comment, I gestured around the room, which aside from Laundry, with his head in his hands behind the bar, was completely empty. And Dingle?
Yes, Sheriff?
I'm proud of you, pal. All man and a bag of chips.
All right, Sheriff. I'm going in.
With that, Dingle crawled back to ground zero.
Well, let's stare at my ball, huh? Shit, don't talk about no federal paper. There ain't no him, no burden no federal paper. Just look at him. I caught him a storm in the foley.
Sheriff, I see him. Looks like he's our man.
Yeah? Let me have a look. I shone my flashlight on your fella's nuts. It was plain to see, even from back where I was standing. His nuts looked like they'd been dropped in a hot skillet. I'd imagine the only thing holding back those litter box amoebas were the fella's own inherent cooties. That's to say, Wally was exonerated.
I don't never have done nothing until I scratch on the ball.
I thought you said you were out of batteries, Sheriff.
No time for semantics, Deputy. Throw the bracelets on Pumpkin fella there and read him his rights. I'm sure Laundry there would like to get back to his party. Ain't that right, Laundry?
She'll be getting my bill in the mail. The karaoke machine, too, Sheriff.
Well, goddamn. I don't know if it was Socrates or Confucius or even Kuato who said it first, but it's true. Some things never change. Love remains a fool's errand. Police work is still a thankless job. And despite the state of horror our world has fallen into, people still want to celebrate Halloween. And maybe that's not all bad when you really think about it. Maybe embracing all this evil for just one night makes the others more bearable. The devil hates being mocked, they all say. And who knows, maybe climbing on a pumpkin now and again is doing just that. By the time we got down to the fish hole that night, the moon was high in the sky. I'm sure Dingle might have questioned me when I had failed to turn toward the police station, but he seemed a little glum at that moment. I figured that might happen once he finally encountered the real horror of Halloween. It had to happen eventually. Maybe he'd even see it my way next time. I parked the cruiser near the woods, got out, and retrieved Yurt fella from the back seat.
My own identity, officer. It ain't a do-nothing. Handled it looking at my balls.
Listen here, Mr. Yurt fella. I've learned a lot of things in my 20-some years of law enforcement, and one of those things is this. Halloween means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. I also learned that the Halloween spirit affects some people differently than others, and I don't believe it's my place to judge that spirit. Just know this. Thanksgiving's right around the corner, and I don't want to see you getting too thankful for any gourds. We on the same page, Mr. Yurt fella?
Thank you, officer. Thank you. I don't want to scratch them balls anymore, but I don't even like no gourds.
With that, I unlocked his handcuffs and watched his ghostly silhouette slink into the woods. Case closed. I got back in the car and turned back toward civilization. The silence was getting a little awkward. You did a hell of a job back there, deputy. I dare say I think you saved more than a few innocent pumpkins tonight. I think you saved Halloween.
Your flashlight worked the whole time, Sheriff. I can still smell it. I think it's stuck in my nose.
That's nothing a few tacos can't fix. How about it, Dingle? If it ain't taco time right now, I don't know when it ever was.
It's after 10, Sheriff. Taco place closed hours ago.
Well, goddamn. Tell you what, how about you cook up some of those s'mores for us? You know how much I love them. What do you say? We'll have our own little Halloween party. It took Dingle a minute to come around, but like always, the indignities of the day would crack and fall away like old Halloween makeup.
You really like my s'more, Sheriff? Last time I made you one, you looked like you wanted to hit me.
I think I finally caught that Halloween spirit, Dingle. Maybe it's not the same way you do or your fella does, but I think I finally figured it out. It's about letting your hair down a little bit, loosening up and being open to different things. It's about hanging out with the people who matter to you and just enjoying the moment. Wouldn't you say that, Deputy? Or should I say Deputy Woody? That one even got a smile out of him.
I sure would, Sheriff.
And he pushed in the cigarette lighter and grabbed his bag of marshmallows.
Once more, coming up.
Good man. And say, about that haunted house idea next Halloween, I actually think that's a pretty good idea.
You think so, Sheriff? I've always wanted to do it. Think anyone would show up?
Well, probably not. But I'm thinking we could put a muzzle on Yolanda and let people box her for like $20 a pop. What do you think? Yes, sir. Another Halloween in the books. Another case closed. And for now, all was well in the generally peaceful town of Splittail. Let's just hope no one tries stuffing a turkey next month. Dingle had on his Toy Story guy outfit.
Well, he was making love to my pumpkin, Sheriff. Well, he was fucking my pumpkin.
The deputy let go of the jack-o'-lantern like it had bit him. The deputy let go of the jack-o'-lantern like it had bit him. He held his hands out.
All I could see was the man's ass and balls, Sheriff.
Just inside the picture window, an orange cat dangled.
Shit bastard saw them too, so he pounced on the man's balls.
Oh, God help me. When I gotta look into the eyes of a grieving pumpkin owner and tell her her jack-o'-lantern's light has gone out. Oh, God. Seinfeld played quietly on a nearby TV while I measured the diameter of the wiener hole. Minor contusions on the inside of the pumpkin opposite the entry wound suggest an extravagant length. A real whip cracker, Frankie. The beaver with an asshole face was sitting in his cage.
I'm talking about your federalism papers. You fuck.
Oh, God, help me.
Oh, I'm talking about your federalism papers.
I can't do it. Fuck you, Sturdivant.
To get down there and have a good look at his hairy, sweaty paws.
But I'm thinking we could put a muzzle on your Wanda and let people... And that was The Pumpkin by author Jeff Sturdivant. A good reminder to hit that like button for us so we can spread the Halloween spirit far and wide. A little about the cue ball. Jeff Sturdivant is an author and narrator who is incapable of taking himself seriously. It's true. You can check out books he's written at flexfiction.com and books he's narrated at flexfiction.net. These both link to Audible. If you prefer to read the old-fashioned way, just give him a search on Amazon. You can also find him on Facebook. He really enjoys all your messages, so keep sending them. The nice ones. I'd really hate to sic Chester on someone for giving my friend a hard time.
And do old Drew Blood a favor, would you? Subscribe to his podcast wherever you do your listening and leave him a 5-star review and a kind word, even if you're listening on YouTube. He needs soldiers on all fronts to win this battle, and he appreciates it. To hear a premium ad-free edition of tonight's and all the other episodes, visit SimplyScaryPodcast.com today and click Patrons in the upper menu. You'll find yourself at ChillingTalesForDarkNights.com, where you can become a patron for as little as $5 per month and get access to their entire audio archive, all ad-free and available to download or stream. Thank you for your time and for supporting our sponsors. When you support our sponsors, you support this show. If you happen to use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube, you can follow and subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights there, where you'll get all the latest updates and new releases and have the chance to interact with them each and every week. Oh, and you can find Drew Blood on Facebook and Instagram, and sometimes Twitter. The Drew Blood's Dark Tales podcast is accepting submissions, friend. If you've got a story or two you'd like to be featured on the show, send it to drewbloodhorror@gmail.com. If selected, you'll get the full treatment, 10 bananas.
Well, I'm afraid this is where we part ways, at least till next week. So grab a drink for the road, friend, and help yourself to some of those circus peanuts on your way out. No, really, it's all right. Grab as many as you want. So may the wind be at your back and may the road rise up to meet you. Send your Thanksgiving-related horror stories to drewbloodhorror@gmail.com. Why not? If you can pull it off, we'll have a look. And until next week, go fuck yourselves. Happy Halloween, friends. Good night, y'all.
About Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.